In the Epistle of St. James, we read, "If any of you is in trouble, he should pray. If anyone is feeling happy, he should sing a psalm. And if one of you is ill, he should send for the elders of the church, and they must anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, and pray over him. The prayer of faith will save the sick man, and the Lord will raise him up again." The prayer of faith will save the sick man. And the command for the sick person to call the elders, the presbyters, for the anointing with oil. And as a priest, I would affirm that the most powerful prayer for healing, the most effective prayer for healing, is the anointing of the sick, the sacrament of the church, anointing with oil and praying with faith. And wherever possible, the sick should do exactly what the scriptures tell him to do. Call in the presbyter or the priest and be anointed with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus. But very often we find that the anointing of the sick is not effective because it is not joined to the second invocation of James' epistle, which is that there be a prayer of faith. A sacrament is not a magic ritual. A sacrament works, as we know, because the Lord Jesus works in his church, and the priest is there in the name of the church, ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus. But beyond that, the sacrament should be faith-filled. The priest should be praying for healing, just as the church prays for healing. And the sick person should expect that the Lord will honor that prayer of the church. And the sacrament is at its best when there is an expectancy on the part of the sick person and where there is faith, expectancy, on the part of the minister. And that prayer comes forth as the prayer of Jesus himself, with the whole church behind him. The whole church, the entire body, praying for the sick. But for the layman, when he prays for healing, he obviously doesn't anoint with oil in the sense of a sacrament, although he can anoint with sacramental oil, just as he can use holy water. Where we would put the accent is on the faith prayer, what St. James calls the prayer of faith. And my definition of the prayer of faith is nothing more than a simple faith-filled prayer for healing. It's a simple prayer. It's a prayer filled with faith, with hope, with confidence, and it's a prayer for healing. Now, this is a faith that's based on the promises of Scripture and firmly grounded in trust and in the love of God. A faith-filled prayer. Very often in our tradition, what we are used to are formulas. Give me a formula that I can recite over the sick. And yet that is not quite the same thing as a prayer of faith. A prayer of faith comes from a full heart. It is a person standing in a very real situation before a very real God, and very really and authentically prays that the Lord stretch forth his hand and touch with healing power. Now obviously there must be faith, but I'd like to say something about the importance of balancing that faith. Jesus said a number of times to people, "Your faith has made you well." At once he said, "Let it be done to you in accordance to your faith." And of course we do need faith to be healed. At least someone in this process needs faith to be healed. the sick man or the minister, or those who pray. But there are some who would exaggerate this role of faith in the healing process and claim that if a healing does not take place, it is because the person lacked faith, and that there is a definite proportion between the amount of faith that you have and the healing that will take place. And so if you approach healing from this point of view, then there's a tremendous effort made to work up faith and to increase faith and to come forth with strong faith. And prayers generally quote scripture, chapter, and verse, reminding God and the sick person of all the promises that God had made. There's an attempt made to stand on the word of God, to claim the promises, and to come forth with strong faith. And I think there is some truth here. We need have faith, and that faith needs to be rooted in the promises of Scripture. But if it's exaggerated, what we come to is an experience or an exercise in Pelagianism. Pelagianism being the heresy that taught that man saved himself and didn't need a Savior, didn't need grace. We can come to an attempt at saving ourselves because we have faith, claiming that it is our faith that heals us, that it is our faith that saves us. And so we come to try to work up faith and to increase faith and to take hold of faith and forget the fact that even faith itself is a gift. And people who minister in this way from faith can very often end up leaving the sick person with a tremendous burden if he is not healed. You are not healed because you have no faith, or you don't have enough faith. And then the sick person tries and tries and tries again to increase his own faith, to build up his faith, so that he can have his healing. Yet it's not quite that way. We need faith, yes. But the Lord said that we need faith the size of a mustard seed. A mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds. Tiny, small, little bit of a seed, that if you have that much faith, you could move mountains. I think he's talking not so much about the size of our faith, but rather the kind of faith. I think it's important to stand before God in a very authentic way, to speak what is truly on our heart, and not come across with empty formulas that we really don't believe, pretty phrases and high-sounding words that do not, in fact, express what is in our hearts. In a very real prayer for healing can be a person who stands there and says, Lord, I don't quite believe, but I believe enough to be here. I believe enough to reach out to you. And I'm asking you, with a faith that's riddled with doubt, that you please touch my sick friend, my wife, my husband, and bring forth healing. That's a very real prayer that comes from just where we are. A prayer that's very real and authentic can sometimes be tinged with anger, just as Moses prayed before the Lord with anger. Our prayer should be human. It should be real. And the faith the size of a mustard seed, as I see it, is just enough faith to get us before the Lord, to stand before him and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. And then I think the faith that we need is what the Lord talked about when he said that we should be like children. We need childlike confidence. Confidence in the fact that God is Father and that we can call him Abba, Daddy. And that he does care. So a prayer comes spontaneously from the heart, just as a person speaks to his own father with words that come from his heart, and not words that he's made up or written down or formulas that he's memorized. A childlike prayer is one that is spontaneous as well as it is real. And I think it's important very often for people who pray for healing that they ask that the Spirit of God lead that prayer. We are all temples of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God lives within us. He dwells within us. And Romans 8 tells us that when we don't know how to pray, the Spirit comes to help us, and He intercedes with words that are not our own. And so if you feel very uncomfortable in praying spontaneously, ask the Spirit of God to lead the prayer, and let Him show you how to pray and what areas to pray in. And then have very little concern for the phrasing and for the structure of the prayer. I think, and I really believe, that praying for healing and praying spontaneously is so natural and so easy and so simple, if only we could get over our hang-ups and just begin. And I had an experience that I always remember of giving a parish mission once, and as part of the parish mission, having a healing service. We didn't call it a healing service because it would have scared people. I think people think of tent revivals, of noise and excitement. But rather we spoke of people who had needs, physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, who could come forth to the priest and ask for prayer, that we would lay a hand upon them and ask the Lord for healing and ask the Lord for answers to the prayer that we offer. And I was praying over people, and I had an altar boy about 11 years old who stood beside me, and he was holding the oil for anointing. And I asked him after we had prayed for a few people whether he'd like to join me. And so he had the oil in one hand, and with the other hand he reached out and he would place his hand on the shoulder of the person who came forward. And he did it very naturally, very spontaneously, with a beautiful childlike confidence. And after we had prayed over a few more people, I asked him if he'd like to join me in praying. And so as each person came forward, and I would pray for them and anoint them if necessary, then the altar boy, young boy, 10 or 11, would make up his own prayer, spontaneously from his heart, and ask the Father to touch this person's need. And he did it so well, and it was so real, and many people were touched, and I'm sure many of his prayers were answered. It's good to verbalize a prayer. It's good to speak it out, because it builds faith, ours and the other person's. It's important to verbalize prayer because it's important to agree on a prayer. The Lord says, where two or three of you agree on anything. And so if I speak a prayer out loud, those around can hear it, can say amen to it, can join their own spirits to it, and it can be a united prayer. And we shouldn't be too hung up on how hard it is to pray, because really, it's the simplest thing in the world. What I'd like to do now is simply offer a prayer for healing. The average prayer for healing would not generally be this long. But I have here different elements that we would put in a prayer. Kind of an example of how to pray. And I think it's important to know that the way we pray depends on the sickness that we're praying for. For example, if there is a germ, a virus, we would ask the Lord to cast it out. If there is a growth, like a cancerous growth or a tumor, we ask the Lord to shrink it, to let divine light, healing rays of light, fall upon it, make it disappear, burn it out, as it were. And where parts of the body have died, like nerve endings, cells, we would pray to the Spirit that we call every Sunday, the Spirit, the giver of life, move out over those parts of the body that have died and bring them back to life. Now, if a sick person came, or if I was visiting somebody in the hospital, and we were going to pray for healing, we do it very comfortably. There's no need to get in any special or magical position, but whatever is comfortable. You could stand beside the person, you could sit beside the person, you could sit on the edge of the bed, perhaps with one hand, place it on the shoulder or the head, the other hand, take his or her hand in a very human, warm, and comforting gesture, and then pray as the Spirit gives the lead. And perhaps the prayer might go something like this. O Father in heaven, I come before you in the name of Jesus Christ, who is your Son, who is my brother. I come before you strengthened with the intercession of Mary, whom Jesus has given me as my mother. And I come before you, Father, first of all, with thanksgiving and gratitude that I can approach you at all, that I have free access before God, who is my Father, and who is creator of the whole universe, all-powerful. And I thank you, Father, that Jesus has taught us to call you Abba, to call you Daddy, and to be so familiar in your presence that we need have no fear. I thank you, Father, that I can be at home before you. And so I pray now, Father, with great confidence in you, with great confidence in the fact that you love your children and that you care, that you are concerned. I thank you, Father, that you are so close, so real, so near. And Father, the one that we both love is sick. The one that we both love is suffering. How much this means to us who love him. And because we care, we share his pain. We suffer with him. And I know, Lord, if this means so much to us, how much also it must mean to you, because you too love him. You too care for him. And you sent your Son to die for him. Father, I know I stand before you as a sinner, unworthy. Yet I stand before you in the name of Jesus, my brother and your Son. And I offer you the only perfect thing I have to offer, the wounds and the blood of Jesus. I offer you, Father, the perfect sacrifice of your Son, Jesus. And in the power of his precious blood, we pray now. We cover this person with the blood of Jesus. We pray that all the healing power that is in the blood of Jesus might flow through him and touch him in the very places where he needs to be touched the most. That you would touch him deep within his inner spirit, fill every emptiness within him, every void and every hollow ache, that you would let your love bathe him and fill him and flow through him, that as your love flows through him, that you would touch his mind and his memories with peace, with a deep peace which is a gift from you, Father. That you would send your Spirit and the healing power of your love to touch that physical ailment, and let your healing power flow through him. Healing power, which is the power of your love. Father, we ask that you would cast out any infection, that you would bring him health and life, that you would let your light shine upon any growth and let the rays of your love burn it out. Cast it out. and that your spirit, who is the life-giver, would bring any dead cell or nerve ending back to life, and that as your love flows through him now, that you would bring health and new life to every cell, to every nerve ending, to every organ, to every system, that you let your peace flow through him. We believe, Father, that you are the Lord. We believe that we are your people, redeemed by the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus. And we believe that no one will snatch us from your hands, for we have been entrusted to you, and you care. And so, Father, we can trust you, because Jesus has taught us to trust you. Let this sickness be for your glory. Allow us to see your love powerfully at work as we see our brother recover, as we see him regain strength and health and new life. Fill us with joy, Lord, as we see you work. And as we pray before you, Father, in Jesus' name, we pray with deep gratitude and appreciation. We pray with thanksgiving, because we know that you hear our prayer. We know that you have heard us, and we know that you answer us. We trust in your love. We trust in your wisdom. We trust in your goodness and your fatherly care. And we give you thanks, now and always.